and 20. 1 through 4, and then verse 19 and verse 20. And one more time, in honor and respect to God's word, would you stand with me? We'll read those verses if you are able. 1 through 4, verses 19 and 20, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's where we're going to read this morning. Let's begin with verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Delivered unto you, first of all, that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Verse number 19, please, and 20. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Thank you. You may be seated. Notice that little word, verse number 20. It's the very first one. But in the English language, that is a conjunction, typically used as a conjunction, I should say. When I was a kid, we had Saturday morning cartoons. I'm not talking about the filth and grime that was on there. I'm talking about Wile E. Coyote. I'm talking about Elmer Fudd. Guys that, if it wasn't gospel, that had to be go along. At least you got to get right after you watch those cartoons. But during that time was a little commercial that had been put together, I don't know who did, called Conjunction Junction, What's Your Function? Anybody remember that? And they'd sing a little song. And you know, for the longest time, I still didn't understand what a conjunction is. The word but is a conjunction. Here's what it means. A conjunction is a connection of two clauses into a single sentence. And with this particular word, the word but, it often connects two contrasting clauses. Notice verse number 19 again. If in this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If in this life only. But, conjunction, now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. God's word gives us compelling reasons that not only did Jesus resurrect from the grave, but you can too. You can too. I'd like to share with you this morning the conjunctions of the resurrection. The conjunctions, the connection of the resurrection. Heavenly Father, bless your word this morning, I pray. Use it for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible starts out in verse number 12. Look there again with me, please. Verse number 12, 1 Corinthians 15. The Bible says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith also is vain. I'd like to share with you, number one, the conjunctions of the resurrection. Number one is this. If Jesus does not live today, everything you believe about the Bible is worthless. If Jesus does not live and breathe right now, everything you believe about the Bible is worthless. Notice what the apostle said, verse number 14. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. And your faith also is vain. The word vain, when you see that word, substitute this thought, empty, no substance, without value, vain. If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching empty, vain. And your faith also empty. Vain. What does that mean? That means the messages of Moses, the Apostle Paul, even Jesus are useless if Jesus is not alive today. Oh, they might be helpful morals. They could be good catechisms like other false religions teach, but they wouldn't be truths They wouldn't be shown as promised by God. And even the Apostle Paul said all of it would be empty. The very preaching, faith in prayers, God's guidance and provision would be useless. If Jesus is not alive today, then that means that whatever God said about him is a lie. It didn't come true. And if God said something that's not true, guess what? He's not. He's not God. Because the God of the Bible tells the truth. Amen? Amen. He is the truth. And yet, the Apostle Paul said, your very faith would be empty, vain. Faith in prayers, God's guidance, Lord help me, provisions, I don't have what it takes, God, but you do, and all that would be useless. And even if all that were true, we still have a problem. We still have a problem. All are still sinners in need of a resurrected Savior. The Bible tells us that the reason why people die, according to James chapter 1, is this, that sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth what? Death. And people still die today. We heard of a friend who has attended our church in the past. She died this last week. Maybe you know someone, a loved one or friend, recently died. Did you know that death doesn't happen because of poor health? It can get here a lot sooner that way. Death doesn't happen necessarily because there's accidents, although that's a horrible way to go. The Bible says death happens because there is sin, and that's the one reason the Bible gives. You know, there was somebody in the Bible that Jesus spoke about, Luke chapter 12. Go there with me if you would. Luke chapter 12 had this idea, this philosophy. He was a rich man. The Bible says he was a certain rich man. In Luke chapter number 12, Jesus was giving a parable here. He said, here's a man who had all the money that he could possibly imagine. He had barns to hold what he had bought. As a matter of fact, he got so much money that the barns were too small. He had to tear those barns down and rebuild them and make them bigger. And once he finished that, what happened? Luke chapter 9, chapter 12, looking at verse number 19, and follow along as I read verse 19. Here's the man, he's in his bed. The Bible says he went to bed that night after the barns, the bigger barns were finished, and he gave himself a pat on the back. Oh, how wonderful it is for me. And the Bible says in verse 19, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Let me ask you a question. Is that a philosophy that continues today? As much as I can get, as much as I have with, I'll do it. And then I'll look at it and I'll say, man, what a great life I got. I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. Notice what happened that night. Verse number 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Sin is still the problem. Sin is still a problem. Oh, there's those that can say that Jesus, he's still dead. But the fact of the matter is, we still have a sin problem. We still have a sin problem. God says that the answer is Jesus for that sin problem. But if he does not live, everything you believe about the Bible is worthless. You know, the Apostle Paul was being very frank, don't you think? He was not just saying necessarily, I believe, about what he said, about what he preached to the Corinthians, but everything that is considered inspired, it's not good enough. Let's go back to our passage, 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Yes, people are trying to live for all they can get. I don't know about you, but I watch some of these videos about these millionaires, the billionaires, the gazillionaires. You ever seen videos about these guys? Five richest guys in the world. One man named Jeff Bezos. I can say his name because he's a public figure. Jeff Bezos is the founder and owner, pretty much, of Amazon.com. Anybody ever got something from Amazon.com? Did you know you helped put him in space? He owns his own space company, his own, I don't know how many homes and so forth. I think they said he was worth $185 billion. Billion dollars. And in this particular video, it showed what Jeff Bezos spent his money on. And at the end, I got to thinking, you know what Jeff Bezos spends his money on? Is Jeff Bezos. He spends his money on himself. And we think, wow, man, if we had all that, it'd be so much different. Let me ask you a question. Why don't you go back and look at your records too? You know, life, no matter how much you got, the flesh still wants to spend it on yourself. And God says that there's a reason for that, and it is sin. And sin can be taken care of, but we've got to accept what Jesus said and what God's word says. Verse 19, take a look. Verse 19, we read it earlier. Here's what it says again. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. All right, let's put our faith in Jesus today. But if he's still dead, that salvation is only for our own kind of pep talk, if you will. It's just to cheer us up. Jesus was a great man, a great teacher. The things that he said can be helpful to us in life, in our relationships, in gathering together at a church. But once we're gone, we're gone. If Jesus is still dead, if Jesus is not alive. But man, I like that conjunction, don't you? Look at that conjunction in verse 20 again. But every man in his own, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. If Jesus does not live, everything you believe about the Bible is worthless. But number two, but because Jesus lives, everything the Bible promises about your faith in him is true, is true. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits. The Bible says that calling on Jesus through faith receives salvation. Turn with me, if you would, Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And look at verse number 10 with me. The Apostle Peter's preaching here, preaching to a crowd. He and the Apostle John had just healed a man. Wow. That would be an amazing church service, wouldn't it? I mean, for real. a man who had been lame, who had been a beggar, right by the temple doors, and the Bible says they healed the man through the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus. And as the crowd began to gather around and say, man, this guy's different, man, certainly he is not the same guy that I remember when I walked in here. God used that moment, and the Apostle Peter began to share Jesus with people. Look at verse number 10. Here's what he said. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, you Jewish priests and so forth, Israelites, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we, what's the next word? Must be saved. There is no other salvation without Jesus. Calling on Jesus through faith receives salvation because he's been raised from the dead. He's alive today. The Bible tells us that confessed sin, as a Christian, confessed sin through Jesus is granted forgiveness. Psalm 32:5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. The iniquities, the transgressions, forgiveness, it comes through Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's alive today. You can have forgiveness of sin today. Christians do go to heaven and death and will be resurrected when Jesus returns in the air. Turn with me, if you would, Philippians chapter 1. Let's go back to the New Testament here. Philippians chapter 1. Look at verse number 20 with me. Christians do go to heaven because Jesus is alive. And when they die, that's where they end. Their soul will go there and will be resurrected when Jesus returns in the air. Philippians chapter 1, that's where we want to look. And look at verse number 20 with me, please. Oh, we all know verse 21 so well, and we like it, and it is a great verse. But what did he say right before that? According to my earnest expectation and my hope that I'm going to live again with Jesus, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What can you gain in death? You can gain the reality of your eternal life. Amen. You see Jesus face to face for the first time. You see, if Jesus does not live, everything you believe about the Bible is worthless. But because Jesus lives, everything the Bible promises about your faith is true. Amen? It's true today. Well, let me share some final words with you and go back to 1 Corinthians and take a look. Let's go to the end of the chapter. And we'll find another conjunction, a connecting clause. I'm going to start in verse number 55. Here's what the Bible says. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain, it is not empty in the Lord. In the Lord. Thirdly, can I share with you this morning, as Jesus lives, every believer can enjoy victory. As Jesus lives, every believer can enjoy victory. Jesus rose again from the dead on the third day. The Bible says that he went to heaven. He came back to be with his disciples. He trained them over a matter of a course of weeks, and then he ascended into heaven again. He did not die twice. Amen. He died only once. He's not going to come back and die again. He's not going to die a third or fourth or fifth. No, it was only one payment that he needed to make. Amen. Amen. And as he lives, the Bible tells me that I can enjoy victory as a Christian. Here's what he talks about, the victory in verse 56. Victory over sin. Victory over sin, both inherent and personal. I don't know about you. Maybe you grew up in the perfect family. Any of you grew up in a perfect family? The truth is, none of us have grown up in a perfect family, but some of us have grown up in a family or families that weren't perfect. Did you know that the sins of your families don't have to continue with you? You don't have to inherit the kind of behavior, the godless things that perhaps you experienced and continue on. You are not a matter of fate in this world. If you're a Christian today, you're changed by God's grace. Amen? And you have a Holy Spirit who can live the victory over sins that your very family has dealt with. And then there's the personal, of course. Personal, that you and God know more than anybody else. More than anything that what goes on in your brain and maybe eventually shows up on the outside. Our tongue, our feet where we go, our very thoughts. The things that go through our life that we know are not pleasing to God. God says you can have victory. You can have victory. And here's why. Here's how you know Jesus is alive. Amen. Jesus is alive. Verse 56 also says victory over sin and victory over the law. Victory over the law. Not the laws of the United States of America. The law that God gave to Moses and the Israelites. The Old Testament laws that had so many particular things that were required in order to be considered sinless. Victory over the law. The law did not make us sinless. It made us understand what sin is. Amen. It made us understand that, yes, if I were to kill somebody, that would be wrong. If I were to lie, if I were to commit fornication, that would be wrong. That's sin against God, etc. And yet God says, we're still held by that standard. But we don't have to be because of what Jesus did on the cross. Amen? Amen. And that victory comes only because Jesus is alive today. He proved. He overcome the law. Victory over death. Look at verse number 55. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Death in the Bible always, always is a picture of separation. A picture of separation. The death specifically that we often think of is separation from this life and the next. Separation from loved ones. Separation from our possessions. Separation from our plans. Separation from anything that this life afforded us. But in God's word, it is separation from Him. Separation from Him. The Bible tells us and talks about a place that without Jesus, we are separated from God. The first place of separation the Bible talks about after leaving this life in death is a place called hell. Uses the word Hades to describe it as well. Hell is just as real as this church building is right now. I'm sorry to say. I'm not happy to say that. And I'm not proud to say it. But it's true. And there are souls there right now. Souls that you may know and that you loved because they chose not to put faith in Christ. They chose to reject what God says is true, that as a sinner, I need to be saved and born again in Jesus. Death. Hell is the first place. The Bible says there will come a day when death and hell will be swallowed up. And the Bible says there will become a day when all those who are in hell will stand before God, the Heavenly Father, at the great white throne judgment. That day that will be judged, the Bible says, on their works. And here's why they get judged on their works, because all of them think that they could escape death by their works. Everyone in hell thought they could get out of it by their works. I'm not such a bad guy. Never went to jail. Well, good for you. I don't remember going there, at least having to stay there. Amen. Never did this, never did that. Well, the problem is that in order to get to heaven, you have to be perfect. Not just what you said or did or didn't do, but your very thoughts have to be perfect. Can you do that? You know the answer. The Bible says that death, hell, those that rejected Christ will all be cast into a place called the lake of fire. Horrible. And will never get out. Now you can choose to do that. Or you can choose Jesus. You can choose the Savior who didn't just die on the cross, but He rose again and He's still alive today. You can choose Him and have victory over death. Wow. And then look at verse 58 again. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The word therefore, why is it there? They always say in Bible college, when you see the word therefore or wherefore, you want to look at why it's therefore. That means you got to go back a little bit in the passage. What is the subject? Well, the subject is Jesus resurrecting from the grave. Amen? Since Jesus is resurrected, therefore, since Jesus is resurrected, my beloved brethren, those believers in Christ, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And here's why. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's not empty to put faith in Christ and live that way. Where are you at this morning? Where are you at this morning? We have some connecting clauses here. The Bible paints a pretty clear picture that life on this earth is vain unless Jesus rose again, and he is alive today. Amen. And because he is alive, everything the Bible promises you about salvation is true. And as a Christian is true. And since Jesus is still alive for these hundreds, almost thousands of years now, and will continue to be in eternity, we can say that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, Jesus will never die again. Amen? Never. And the Bible says when we see him face to face on that day when he comes in the clouds in the air, we won't either. We won't either. But the question is, which side of the conjunction are you on? Are you in the one in need of salvation? Or are you in the one that says, yes, Jesus is alive and he's my Savior? As a Christian, which side are you on? Have you become weary and wondered what it is about the Christian life that needs to be so important? Well, remember, because he's alive, it's all true. It's all right to live for Christ. I praise the Lord this last week for our revival meetings, Brother Jeff Farnham. I believe God tailor-made some of those messages for us, at least for me. And friends, no amount of preaching can keep us revived. It's a matter of choice, of saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I'll do what you say. I'll submit to you, and I'll submit today. You know what? Submission doesn't come with a stopwatch. Submission is right here and right now. That's the way God sees it. Where are you this morning? Will you call on Christ? And will you continue in Christ? Heavenly Father, I thank you that you've given us a Savior who lives today. And yet, Lord, sometimes we forget the importance of that and the call for that, the call to be steadfast, unmovable in that truth, always abounding in work for you. Oh, God, I pray, would you use this time today on Resurrection Sunday to draw us closer to you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask that the instruments not play for a few moments. Would you stand with me? Would you stand if you're able with heads bowed and eyes closed, and maybe God's spoken to you? If you need Christ as your Savior, in a moment I'm going to step down with my Bible. I'd love to show you from God's Word. This is the time. Now's the time to get saved. Maybe you'd just like someone to pray with. I'll be there. Or you just want to have a moment alone with God. Would you use this time to do that? After a few moments, I'll ask the instruments to play the song. We'll sing, but maybe God is speaking to you. Let his Holy Spirit speak. That because he's risen, we have victory in Christ alone. Would you take that moment right now and talk to Christ, talk to the Lord? As the organ begins to softly play that song, Calvary covers it all, with head still bowed, eyes still closed, would you consider what God has asked you to do today? Leading and guiding, would you consider what God would have you do today? Seal that right here, right now. Seal it in prayer. Seal it with him. Song is number 246. Would you turn there? Brother Doug's going to lead us in that first verse. Far dearer than all that the world can impart. The message of salvation is not only true, but it is worth it. It's not vain. It fills you. It fills you if you receive it by faith. Receive Christ by faith. Calvary covers it all. That's the name of the song, because it's true that the blood of Jesus paid that price. Would you come, if that's your need, as we sing?